Good morning, I'm Pastor Steve. Some of you I know are new, maybe the first time in our worship here. And also maybe some of you are away, been away for the whole summer. And so maybe as an introduction to my sermon, I just want to share with you a little bit about what's happened in terms of developments in our church expansion. We are in the public school right now, elementary school, and we are renting this facility. But we don't know how long we can continue renting. We have like a one-year lease from every year to year to year. And so we're looking for some permanent space for our church, and particularly here in Chinatown. And as we were trying to work with the city about swapping land and things like that, the nursing home, South Cove Manor, became available. They decided they were looking for land in Chinatown to expand, but couldn't find any. So they decided they were going to move to Quincy. And so that they had an wanted to sell their building. And so God used that opportunity and helped us so that we were chosen to be the buyer for that building. And so of April of this year, in fact, it was during the week of Easter that we took possession of that building. And but then 2 weeks after that, in May of this year, the Roman Catholic Church, which is right next door, became available. And the leaders, as they looked at the two buildings, so the nursing home has a lot of small rooms. The Catholic Church has a large worship space. And so the two together made a lot of sense and was certainly valuable to us. And so we made a bid, but so did eight or other groups as well. And in the end, and so we had people pray. We had a prayer walk. We had people go over to that facility, and we walked around and we prayed. We gave out prayer cards and bookmarks for people to concertedly pray that God would grant and give to us this building. But in the end, it was sold to someone else. It was going to be sold to someone else. And so for a lot of people, they were very disappointed. I was disappointed, okay? But it also raised a lot of questions about prayer. Because a lot of people were thinking, well, I mean, we prayed, but God didn't answer us. What happened? You know, is God too busy? Has he got other things on his mind? We got all these world events that are taking place. Maybe he's too busy, or he doesn't care, or what's the problem? And so many of us can become very confused about prayer, particularly based on experiences like this. We read, for instance, in John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus said, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." And so we said, well, didn't we say in Jesus' name, amen, you know, when we close our prayers? Shouldn't God answer our prayers? Maybe based on your personal experience, you've also been disappointed. For instance, you may have been praying for a loved one, someone who is very sick. And so you prayed and prayed and prayed, but in the end, the loved one passed away. And so you're wondering, what's the use in praying? Why pray? What's the purpose? Or maybe, I know many of you are here for school, but if you back up a little bit, maybe you've been praying about getting into a certain school, and you had your, quote, eyes set on a certain school, and you got rejected. And so, again, you wonder, boy, I prayed for this, and yet God didn't answer. Or perhaps you were looking for a particular job, and you wanted to get a job, and you thought this would be the ideal job, perfect job for you. And yet, in the end, they gave that job to someone else. So even in your personal experience, as well as the experience of the church, we suffer disappointments. We pray and God doesn't seem to answer in the way that we wanted. And so it raises lots of questions about prayer. And so perhaps the key to all this is to think about how do we see God? How do we see God? Do we see God as some sort of genie or some sort of Santa Claus? Now, you know, and this is still the summertime, but you know, during Christmas time, the kids would line up in the department stores and malls and see Santa. And they would tell Santa all the toys and things that they want. And meanwhile, the parents are there, okay, what do you want? Okay, they're taking notes, right? And so somehow on Christmas, a lot of the times, they would get what they were asking for. And they're like, amazed, Santa Claus is so good. He gives us all the things that we would want, right? And so some of us see God that way. That we see God as someone who's just supposed to provide for our needs. That we give him the list of things that we want, you know, and that's called prayer. And he's supposed to, like, do it. He's supposed to carry it out. He's supposed to make it happen. But instead, I think the Bible says, no, prayer is not like that. God is not like a Santa Claus. He is more like a heavenly Father, all right? And the heavenly part maybe refers to the fact that he is God, that he knows all. He is all wise. He knows what's best for us. And so, and he's all powerful. So he can certainly accomplish anything he wants, but he also knows what's best for us. And maybe that's the Father's part, Heavenly Father. That as a Father, he knows what's best for us and cares about us. He doesn't want problems and other issues to come up because he cares for us. He's our Heavenly Father. And so one of the main ideas from this sermon is I entitled it that God always answers prayer. All right? It's not because sometimes people say, well, he didn't answer our prayer for, you know, this buying this Catholic church or the job that I wanted, et cetera, et cetera. But God always answers prayer, but he may have different answers from what we want. And so I guess the best way to describe all this is to look at a chart that I prepared, and it's in your, instead of the regular sermon outline, I put a chart together to help you to kind of understand a little bit, and this is by no means complete. It doesn't have all the answers, and doesn't explain everything, but the main concept is God always answers prayer. And however, they may be different answers to our prayers. And I have four boxes underneath that, and I kind of tried to rhyme things so you can remember things. So it's go, no, slow, and grow. All right? So hopefully you might remember that. Go would be a yes. No is no. Obviously, we understand that part. Slow is that we have to wait. And grow is that we have to change. We have to develop in some way or fashion. And as you can see below that, we have five more boxes. And I'm going to try to explain, spend a little bit more time on that part, because that's the part we can, in some sense, do something about. The other parts we just have to accept from God, you might say. But for the box under grow, there's certain things that we can do. We can be proactive, and we can look at and examine what God is doing. So hopefully that you can understand that. And the passages on the front cover of your program relate to these five boxes in the bottom here. Okay? So that's where I'm going. All right? So the first thing is God always answers our prayers. But they might be different kinds of answers. God is not ignoring us. God is you know, there's nothing wrong with prayer, you know, because you might be wondering, did the message get through? You know, was there static in the line? You know, whatever, you know, questions that we might have, is God on vacation? You know, but people get on vacation. So we have all these issues and problems about prayer or about God, but we need to kind of get the bigger picture about what is prayer all about. And so the main idea is that God always answers prayer, but he answers them generally in four different ways. And first is go or yes. And this relates to the passage Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Okay? So what this verse, these verses are trying to say to us is that God is this heavenly Father. Now, I know that some of you may not have had, maybe have had earthly fathers, human fathers, that were not very good. They didn't care about you. They ignored your requests. They were mean to you, all right? But here, the verse is saying, no, God is a loving Heavenly Father. He cares about you. He wants to give you good things. And so God is a God of love. He's a God of grace. And so, yeah, we may have had imperfect fathers in our own personal lives, but our Heavenly Father is so much more loving. And we are his children, not because we deserve it, but because of God's grace, that because of our faith in Jesus Christ, God gives us the privilege to be his children. And so he is our Heavenly Father. We are his children. And so prayer is not a means to persuade a reluctant God to do something which he doesn't want to do, right? Sometimes we think that way, but really, God is a God who wants to give us good things. And so if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, you might say, or healthy as a Christian, then God wants to answer your prayers. And so there are many different times, and we can hopefully think of many instances where we prayed where God did say yes, okay? And I want to use an example from one of our founders of our church, Mrs. Jong. Now, as a side note here, if you were to read Pastor Tan's autobiography, you know, Pastor Tan was the founder of the Boston Chinese Evangelical Church, founded in 1961. So in those early years, the church was small and struggling to try to grow. And there was a time where they couldn't even pay Pastor Tan enough money, okay? So that he didn't have any food for take care of his family. And so, miraculously, as he prayed, God made a sack of rice to appear at his door, okay? And Pastor Tan, for many years, didn't know where that sack of rice came from, but he just said it was an answer to prayer. You can read about that in his autobiography. Later on, it was found out it was Mrs. Jong, okay, this one of the founders, one of the 18 founders of our church, who, you know, quietly arranged for the sack of rice to be delivered to his house, all right? And so Mrs. Jong, when I first came to the church, I was good friends with her daughter, and so Mrs. Jong had a brain tumor, a very serious brain tumor. In fact, she required an operation. I can't think of all the details, but it's something like in the order of like over 10 hours, okay, on, you know, opening up your skull and, you know, doing all these things. And so it was like, oh, you know, this is pretty very difficult and unlikely that she could survive. But Mrs. Jong, and as we prayed, Mrs. Jong survived. As people were praying for her, she not only survived, she lived for another 15, 20 more years, okay? And so we can point to instances where God does the miraculous. And it's part of his will. He says, okay, yes. And so God wants to give us good things. You can even point to the acquisition of the nurse, South Cove Nursing Home. That as we were, as you know, the real estate in this area is like very hot, okay? And so the fact that this nursing home was for sale, I'm sure lots of developers, in fact, there were developers who were thinking, oh, we could buy this and develop it and make a high rise, et cetera, et cetera. So, but the nursing home said, no, we want to give a priority to a Chinatown organization. And so that sort of limited, you might say, the competition. But there was also another developer here in Chinatown that wanted to buy it as well. But somehow, as we made presentations to their board and that kind of thing, they decided, oh, we'll sell it to you. And I remember that we also got lots of people to pray during that time. And I know Pastor Fung, our former senior pastor, he was away in Singapore, but he was calling back just to find out what happened, what did they do? And so, again, another example of how, as we prayed, God says yes. And so that's one of the certainly answers that God gives to us, is that it can be a go or a yes. But there's also another answer to prayer, and that is no. That sometimes God has something better in mind, all right? That maybe something wrong with the request, but God maybe has something better in mind. And again, as our Heavenly Father, he cares about us, but as God, he also knows what's best for us. He can see into the future. When I was growing up, there used to be a TV show called Father Knows Best, all right? And, you know, but the funny thing about that show is that every episode, as I look back, it actually showed that the father didn't know much of anything. You know, that was maybe the point of the show, that he looked kind of, you know, dumb, you might say, okay? But our God is all wise. He knows the future. He knows what is best for us. And so we need to trust in him. And so sometimes God will say no. And so my daughter is here actually today. So I don't know if hopefully I'm going to give the right details about this. But there were times when my wife would go to New York to visit. And you know, so I was left at home to take care of my two children, and they were young. And so, you know, one of my responsibilities was to provide dinner for them. And so I could ask them, okay, what do you want for dinner, you know? And I don't know exactly the details, but it was sometimes very unhealthy food, you know? Could be like ice cream or French fries or something like that for dinner only. And so being the loving father that I am, did I give in to them and said, oh yeah, okay, you want ice cream for dinner? Sure, have it, right? No, it would be easier. It's, you know, better than cooking, but, you know. But of course, as a loving heavenly loving earthly father, I would say, earthly father, I would say, no, I want them to have healthy food, you know, at least a little healthy, okay? And so I would have these tater tots and other things and whatever, you know, something easy to cook, but yet, you know, not exactly ice cream, all right? And so in some sense, I said no to them. And they could probably feel like, oh, my God, Dad doesn't love me. You know, he's not giving me what I want. And so, but I'm giving him, you know, really, I'm doing what's best for them by saying no. And so I believe God is that way, that he sometimes says no to our requests. And we may think, oh, this is the best for us. This way is the best for us. And yet, sometimes we can somehow wonder, well, how come God doesn't give me what I want? And it's because he realizes that what if you granted us that request, it would not be good for us. He has something better in mind for us. And I can think of, in my own life, where think back of when I was applying to colleges, you know, and thinking about, you know, where I would want to go to school. And I grew up in Cambridge, okay, went to high school in Cambridge, and I wanted to become, I thought, you know, God was leading me to a career in engineering. So where do you think I wanted to go? MIT, right? I mean, that's like such a good school. I'm right there. It'd be perfect. And so I prayed and prayed and said, okay, God, help me to get in, et cetera, et cetera. But in the end, I was rejected, okay? I had to go to my, you know, I forget what choice it was, second or third, you know, I went to New York University. And I must admit, I was very disappointed at that time. I didn't really want to go to New York. In fact, after I spent a year in New York, I was thinking, oh, I need to transfer out of here. You know, it's so bad. But I stuck it out, and I began to like it. And not only that, God began to utilize my experience in New York to shape and mold me spiritually. And there was actually no campus group, a Christian campus group, available at NYU at that time. And so, but somehow God guided me to end up actually in a Chinese church in Chinatown, okay? And I would say God used those circumstances to get me where I am now, all right? Because I don't think it would have happened if God did not lead me to go to school in New York City. And not only on top of that, I met my future wife in New York, okay? And so obviously everything was like God knew exactly what he was doing when he said, no, I don't want you to go to MIT. It's a no for you. And I was very disappointed. I couldn't understand it at the time. But now as I look back, I said, oh, this is what God was doing. That he first wanted to shape and mold me spiritually and to bless me in many different ways. And so God sometimes will say no to your request because he has something better for you. The third answer to our prayers would be slow. That is to wait for the right time. And perhaps this is perhaps the most difficult answer because we don't want to wait. We want instant results, right? Like anything else. And so as we wait, we get discouraged and we just begin to lose faith. But as one famous writer wrote, God's delays are not God's denials, okay? And so we need to understand that. And the classic example of that, you might say both positive and negative, is Abraham. Right? Because Abraham, God had promised to Abraham that he would have a son. And now, Abraham was 75 years old. And you would think, okay, I'm, you know, pretty old now. And, but if you promise me a son, it's going to happen, right? But then we waited and waited and waited and nothing happened. And then he kind of took matters into his own hands, you might say. And he thought, oh, maybe he wants me to get this servant girl, Hagar, pregnant. And that's where the line would come from, a surrogate mother, so to speak, right, in that situation. But that wasn't God's way either. And so eventually he still had to wait. He had to wait 25 years until he was 100, all right? Now, I recently went to a birthday party for a person that's 100, right, and I can't imagine having a child at that point, 100, right? And never mind Sarah, who is 90 at this point. Okay, but God had a purpose in that to kind of show that he can do anything. He can do the impossible. And so, but during that time, Abraham had to wait. He had to wait. He had to wait. And so he didn't know. There were times he got pretty anxious about things. And so it can be very difficult. It's not that God didn't want to give him a son. It's just that this is not the right time. And so we have to understand God has certain timing because me, he has certain purposes in mind. And again, in my own example, my parents, as I was the first one in my family to be a Christian. And so I wanted my parents to become Christian. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that because a lot of it had to do with prayer. But I could also see God's timing in this as well because my parents did become Christians, okay, eventually. But it didn't happen for like 10 years, all right? And I was waiting and waiting and praying. Why doesn't God do something, right? I've been so faithful and praying. Why aren't you doing something? But as I was waiting, God was also working on my heart, drawing me to dedicate my life to him and also caused me to start thinking about going to seminary. And my parents were very much against it as being non-Christians. And they were saying, no, that's like stupid. You know, you're trained as an engineer. Why would you want to, you know, work for a place where you live off people's contributions? You know, it was like a shame to them. And yet I felt like God was drawing me to go to seminary. So what was I going to do? And so I felt like, oh, if I go to seminary, they're going to be so upset and, you know, they're going to be so negative to Christianity that they won't even become Christians. And yet, unmistakably, I knew God was saying, I want you to go to seminary. And so in the end, I finally decided, okay, I'm going to go to seminary. And while I was in seminary, my parents became Christians, all right? And so you say, oh, what timing, you know? Yeah, because God was saying, you know, you have to obey me, and I'll take care of the other things, all right? That was the unmistakable lesson that I learned. And it wouldn't have happened if circumstances worked other ways, all right? So waiting is hard, but God has his reasons. He has his timing. He has certain things in mind. So we need to understand that sometimes God doesn't answer because it's not the right time yet. Please wait, okay? Okay? And it's not because God is slow. We have to slow down. That's what, you know, sometimes you may look at it and say slow. Okay, God is not slow. He's exactly on time. But sometimes we have to slow down in our expectations, okay? The fourth is to grow. That God's answer to us is, I'm not answering your prayers in a positive way because you need to grow. You are need to mature as a Christian. And so God as our heavenly Father and we as his children, he is a parent. He is trying to raise godly children. People who will be like Jesus. People who will think, feel, and act like Jesus. People who are disciples of Christ. That's what he's trying to do. He's not trying to be a genie and give us what we want or make us happy or all these kinds of things. He is trying to raise children. That's what he's trying to do. And so sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers in a positive way because he's waiting for us to change, to grow, to become more like Jesus. And so we've listed five different possibilities. And again, there could be more, but, you know, just for these five, and you'll find the Bible verses in the front of the program for this. So the first one is prayerlessness, that we don't pray. And James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. All right? So we don't get what we want because we are not praying for it, or we're not praying for it consistently enough. One of the most striking statements that I've heard when I was reading a book about prayer is a quote from John Wesley. He said, God will do nothing except in answer to prayer. And I remember when I first read that, I said, oh, that's not true. You know, God can, he's God, he's sovereign, he can do anything. You mean, God will do nothing except in answer to prayer? Because in some sense, if that's true, it's shifted a lot of responsibility on me, you know, and us in terms of prayer. I mean, God's not going to act unless I pray. Well, God could choose to do that, right? God could say, I could act in a certain way if you pray, but I will act in a different way if you don't pray, right? And so I think that's something that we need to understand. Yet God is sovereign, yet he voluntarily, you might say, says, I'm going to hold back my power until you pray. And so that puts a lot of like emphasis. Oh, you mean my prayers are really that important? And you could even look at the Lord's Prayer, for instance. Well, one of the part of the Lord's Prayer is, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So if God's the king, why do we need to pray for his kingdom to come, right? And so part of it is God saying, I'm not going to act until you pray. And so part of it is praying for something. And so we need to understand how important it is to pray. But a lot of times we don't pray. And I want to go back to talking about my parents who were not Christians. And I was the first one again in my family to become a Christian. So I wanted very much for my parents to become Christian. And so I think I couldn't speak Chinese enough to present the gospel. Obviously, there's a problem because they're older, you know, and they think they're wiser, but, you know, and I'm their child, right? I mean, there's that problem, right? And so I felt frustrated. But how can I get them? And I didn't belong to a Chinese church. I belonged to, quote, non-Caucasian church, you might say. And so it was very difficult to me to say, how can they ever become Christian, you know? I said, well, the only thing I can do is pray. And I did pray for them every day for 10 years, okay? And so when people ask me, how did your parents become Christian? I can always say, because of prayer, because of what God did, you know? And if other people want their family members, their loved ones to become Christian, I would say, first thing is you need to pray. And some people say, oh, yeah, I prayed for my family and that kind of thing. Okay, how often do you pray for your family? You know, every once in a while, you know. And so a lot of them will say, oh, yeah, I prayed for them months ago, whatever. But they're not consistently, fervently praying before God. And I would say, you know, is that, you know, maybe that's the problem if God is not answering, that you're really not fervently and consistently praying, that God wants us to pray to him and to pray and lift up these requests before him. And so maybe our problem, the thing that God wants to change in us, that where we need to grow, is we need to learn to pray and pray more consistently for, particularly if we say this is important to us, then hopefully it makes a difference in our prayer life as well. The second way in which we can grow or change is because of sin. That could be blocking our prayers. And the passage is Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot say, or his ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Okay? So that verse tells us that sometimes as the Jewish people were praying to God and they were saying, how come you don't answer us? How come you don't give us what we are requesting? And they think that, well, maybe something wrong with God. You know, is his hearing? You know, is his arm too short? What's the problem with God? The problem is not with God. It's with the people, with us, that we are sinning. We have committed sins of commission and omission before God. We are not doing things that he wants us to do. And so that could prevent his answer to our prayers. And so certainly that would be true in family life. If I wanted to bring my children, my son, to a basketball game. And he would love it, right? But then he is very nasty to his sister and that kind of thing, right? Then I would say, okay, we're not going to the game, you know, because of that, right? I mean, so it's understandable that God would act in a way and withhold his blessing from us because of our sin, for our disobedience to him. And so the question is, we need to examine ourselves. We need to look at our lives. And the best way is to read your Bible, because sometimes we're not even conscious of the sin that's in our lives. But the Bible is described as like a mirror to us. It shows us for our flaws. So certainly if you this morning went to, before you came to church, hopefully you looked in the mirror and you say, oh, there's a flaw here. There's, you know, I need to take care of this. And so the Bible is sort of like that, that it tells us where the areas that we need to change. Maybe we've been lying or stealing or gossiping. Or maybe there are sins of omission. Maybe, yeah, you don't consistently worship God. You don't share, you're not loving your neighbor as he should. And so the good thing is that if we sin and see the sin, the Bible says if we confess our sins in 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so God may be waiting for us to deal with this problem of sin in our lives. He sees this sin is blocking his answer to our prayers. So he's waiting for us to change. And then selfishness. I mean, in some sense, all these could be sin. So one of the specific sins would be like selfishness. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. Okay? So here it's talking about motive. And so we could ask God for something that's good even, right? But sometimes we ask because we want it for ourselves. It's basically something that will satisfy us rather than seeking God's glory. And so, for instance, you could be applying for a new job. And you could be praying for this new job. And you say, wow, this new job can advance my career. It would give me a lot more money and that type of thing. But sometimes God may say no, because you might be thinking, well, the motive really is so I can just brag to my friends about how big a position. I'm going to have a corner office and all that kind of thing and have a big title. And so maybe that's your motive, right? And so for other people, you know, for God, he will look not only at our requests, but our motive. Why do we want this thing? And even Jesus, as we know, before he went to the cross, he said, he prayed that if there was another way for salvation to be accomplished, he said, you know, can that be done? But he said, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And so in the end, Jesus said, okay, you know, it's not about even me. It's about your glory, the Father's glory. And so he was willing to submit to the Father because of that. And so maybe God is not answering our prayers because we need to not be like children who are selfish, but really thinking about God's glory rather than what's best for me. And then the fourth one would be lack of faith. James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And so God wants us, when we pray to him, to have faith, to believe that he could answer and that he is able to do it. But many times when we pray, we just sort of like say it, but we actually don't believe it's going to happen. All right? And because of that, God may not give us what we want because of our lack of faith. God, one of the key things that God is trying to grow in us is our faith in Him, that we would trust Him. And again, it's, we need to distinguish between the fact that we need to have faith God can do it. Not that He will do it, unless He's promised it to you in His Word, or He said it to you personally, or whatever. It, you know, we can't have that kind of faith where we're just blindly thinking that He'll just answer anything that He will do. But certainly He is able to do it. He is able to do the impossible, okay? The story about how in the Midwest there was this drought that was taking place, and all the crops were dying and everything. So people went to church and they said, oh, we need to pray and ask for rain. And so people gathered and prayed, came to the church to pray. But the minister up there made this observation. He said, there's only one person here who has faith. And that's that little girl who brought an umbrella. All right. And so are we those kind of people? Are we the people that said, okay, we expect that, we believe that God could, you know, answer our prayers. And so God can do it. And so our lack of faith could be a problem as, for us as well. And then finally, conflict. And maybe, I'm not sure if that's exactly the right description. It might be having bad relationships with people, I guess. Maybe if something like that. But somehow related to that. Or we're not treating people correctly. All right? Maybe that's more accurate. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as their weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Okay? And so the last part talks about the fact that your prayers could be hindered, right? And literally it means, the word hindered means to cut into. So it might be like some roadblock that would cut off your prayers. That's sort of the picture that's here. But what is it that could cause this roadblock? And it says, you know, for husbands to live with your wives in an understanding way. And part of it is showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, some people may say, ooh, weaker vessel. That doesn't sound politically correct here. Okay. Weaker vessel is like, vessels were like containers, things that, you know, could be contained food and things like that. And so there were some vessels that were like made of hard things, and sometimes there were ones that were made of more delicate things. An example in my own family, especially when we were growing up, when we had children in our home, that we would normally eat off of Melmac plates, all right? In other words, these kind of like plastic, and it's kind of like you drop it on the floor and nothing would happen to it, that kind of thing, right? That's how we normally would eat. But when we have guests, right, then we would bring out, you know, you might say the fine china, as fine as we could have. But, you know, certainly they were weaker in the sense that they could break easily, right? And so we didn't eat from them very often, but they were very delicate, you might say. So I believe that's the idea that's here. It's talking about men and women, and generally our men are like bigger and all that kind of stuff, and women, you know, are physically not as strong. And so here he's saying, show honor to them, because there's an equality that's also talked about here between men and women, and between husband and wife. It says, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. They said, this is something in common. He's saying, you are both, you know, children of God. You are equal before God. You need to show honor, okay, to your wife. And if you don't live with your wife in an understanding way, your prayers might be hindered. So you, the husband may be saying, oh, I'm praying for this promotion that I can get. And God may say, no, I'm not going to give you that promotion because you're not treating your wife in the right way. Okay? So, and I would perhaps apply it to even bigger, because maybe it's the other way. Maybe the wife is not treating the husband the right way. Or maybe into a church where there could be conflict and problems and those kinds of issues as well. And so if we don't treat each other in the proper way, God could hinder the answer to our prayers. So these are five possible reasons or ways in which God wants us to grow. And so for us, we would want to examine our prayer life. And if we're getting frustrated with God, you know, a lot of times we would be, as God doesn't answer our prayers, we think that there's something wrong with God, you know, some problem there, right? And so it's not a problem with God. Usually it's a problem with us, that we need to grow in a certain way. Or sometimes we sort of think that, oh, just prayer thing just doesn't work, all right? Now, I know many of you have cell phones, and when you first got a cell phone, maybe it didn't work, all right? Somehow that thing was defective. So you didn't say, well, I don't believe in cell phones. They don't work, you know? And so you just didn't get one, right? No, you said, well, there's something wrong here, and I need to either get it fixed or get a replacement, right? But it's not the problem with cell phone, you know? It's a good way of communication. Prayer is also a good way of communication. It's an effective way, but there might be a problem with you in some sense. There are defects in your life, and God wants you to grow in a certain way. And so as we think about even the church and say, oh, why come God didn't answer our prayers? We have to examine ourselves and look and say, oh, what is God trying to say here? Is it, you know, he said, is it no or slow or grow, right? And so in your own personal life, as you examine your requests before God, you need to do the same thing and examine yourself before God and to change whatever is necessary. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we admit that prayer is still a mystery to us. We don't fully understand it, and maybe we never will. But you certainly made a lot of, told us a lot of things about prayer. And so we want to pay attention to that. And maybe some of us have been discouraged. And maybe as we think about, we thought that there was something wrong with you. And so first we apologize to you, because there's nothing wrong with you. You are a loving Heavenly Father who wants the best for us. But sometimes you've said no because you have something better for us. Sometimes we have to wait for your timing because it's not the right time. And sometimes it's because we need to grow. There's something wrong with us. And particularly in those areas, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would make us aware of areas that we need to change, that are hindering our prayers, that you want to give us good things, that you want to bless us in so many different ways, but we don't receive them because we need to grow in certain areas. And so in those areas, we pray that you would help us to see what they are and help us to deal with them, and thankful that as we confess our sins before you, you are such a gracious God, that you, as we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.